Hello and welcome to the season finale edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, I'm joined by both Daniel Green. Daniel, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing, Mark? Good to be here.
Also joined by Tyler Watts. Tyler, what's going on, my man?
Not much, Mark. What are you up to?
I'm ready to talk about some basketball for the last time this season. A little bittersweet, don't you guys think?
Dude, it went by so fast.
It really did.
It's depressing. Also, it's depressing. I think this last week has been probably my worst fantasy week ever in terms of my own team. Thanks to Kyrie Irving, Thaddeus Young, Ryan Anderson. The list could go on and on. Nicholas Batum, Markieff Morris, Norris Cole. Everyone just killed me, Mark.
I was in the same boat as you. I have many of those same guys. It was a rough week for a lot of players.
Yeah, I was waiting all year. I thought my Kyrie Irving draft, you know, would pay off picking him, and it just backfired completely the whole year.
Sure did. He never really got it together, and then the game he sat out was.
Yeah, he had a couple week stretch where I was like, all right, it's finally gonna pay off, and then he just right at the wrong time just killed us.
Is he the most disappointing fantasy player this year?
I was reading an article today. Someone else said it was Rudy Gobert, he would be close too. But Kyrie's got to be close.
I don't think Gobert is because I kind of don't like counting injuries in that.
Yeah, but you have to count injuries.
I guess so. Then isn't the most disappointing guy Marc Gasol?
I had him too. Yeah, he was one of them
because he got hurt. Right, Eric Bledsoe might be the most disappointing guy because he got hurt. I'm saying
Gasol,
of guys.
Gasol played a lot more games than Bledsoe, though, didn't he? So
yeah, I think so. That's what I'm saying. You just go like with the guy who is hurt the most and say that's the most disappointing player. More disappointing to me is guys who should have performed and just didn't perform. Like Rudy Gobert's stats, he kind of had a bad finish, admittedly. So, but his stats were pretty close to right in line with
Mike Conley was another guy who I thought had a horrible.
But again, he's injured.
Yeah, but even when he was playing, he was very average.
I'm pulling up which list do you want to look at? ESPN or Yahoo's average draft position?
I like ESPN, but
yeah, me too. We're doing ESPN. All right, let me just run see if we can find somebody. All right, so Anthony Davis went first. Steph Curry, James Harden, Anthony Davis.
If he
deal with injuries, I mean, the fact that he sat out for the playoffs is pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
I would be very impressed if any of our listeners won a league where they owned Anthony Davis. You can't really come back from drafting him number one overall and then win your league if he doesn't play in your playoffs at all. So he had a fine season, though, production-wise.
Yeah, he started off the year horrendously, but then you know, after the All-Star break, he was great until he got hurt.
I mean, he averaged 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and a half a three-pointer.
Yeah.
He shot 50% from the field and 76% from the line. That's pretty good stuff. The only problem is he played 61 games. All right, so beginning of the season was Davis, Curry, Harden, Durant, LeBron, Westbrook, Cousins, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, and then Klay Thompson.
I mean, all those guys.
Could you argue that Klay Thompson maybe was a little disappointing this season?
I mean, definitely the first part of the season, but he's been pretty much on par with what I expected the rest of the season. Like since game,
he's had a very good playoffs, which also helps.
Yeah, and today he'd say, and tonight he went nuts. So.
He showed the Philadelphia Sixers who's boss.
He did. he's actually been shooting a lot better than Steph lately. So
he's had back-to-back 40-point games.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, which will kind of redeem his poor draft position. If you got into the playoffs with him, I think you're feeling pretty good about him by now. So he's not a disappointment. So the whole first round basically was the top 10. So then 11, John Wall, 12, Kawhi Leonard. So basically the whole first round.
All those guys performed, I thought, pretty
performed well, except for Davis. Davis was probably the biggest bust in the first round.
And you're right. That was solely due to injury.
If you look at their player rater, Klay Thompson is 19th, which might be a surprise to you guys. Anthony Davis is 18th. The two worst guys, I got them if you want to hear who they are. The two worst guys that I think were like top two round picks. Blake Griffin was 179th on their player rater.
But again, like, it was he sat out 42 games.
Yeah, but I think their player rater just goes by per game stats.
No, they have two. There's two different versions.
Where was Blake drafted?
Blake, okay, so Paul George was 13th and Blake Griffin was 14th.
All right, that's about right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so, all right, so Blake Griffin in the 30 games that he played, he averaged 23 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, 5 assists, less than a steal, less than a block. That's right in line with his career averages.
I don't even remember how he plays. It's been so long since he's been played.
I don't even remember what he looks like. It's those assists that are really so valuable for Griffin. And the fact that he'll shoot
Clippers,
above
50%. They basically they would run a lot of their offense through him.
Yeah.
So like when he comes back, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do when he comes back in about 2 weeks.
I mean, he killed your team if you drafted him, but I don't consider him a bust.
And Gobert was 104th for those
people.
See, I think it was Gobert. Look at that.
Well, so here's where it gets interesting. Like, so you have Griffin's injury, you have Jimmy Butler, who was injured for some of the season, but he had a pretty good season. Carmelo Anthony, who was injured a little bit. Serge Ibaka, who I would probably argue is the biggest disappointment. The fact that he was never injured.
What a buster.
And you know, so you can say, like,
how high was he drafted?
So he went right after Anthony, right before Gobert in the second round. He was in the first half of the second round. Let me just count. Let's see. So George went 13th, Griffin went 14th, Butler went 15th, Anthony went 16th, Ibaka went 17th, right above Gobert and LaMarcus Aldridge and Marc Gasol. And Ibaka, I mean, look at this. He's played 71 games so far, so he's barely sat on any games, if any. He may have played every game of the season so far.
Do you think Ibaka is the most handsome guy in the NBA? Because he could be.
He's the biggest bust, I would say.
No, but I mean in terms of being handsome.
I don't know about that.
Like,
I have no opinion, I suppose.
I think when I mentioned the top five most handsome guys in the NBA, I think I forgot him. He's definitely up there. It's him, Gordon Hayward, Kyle Korver. Who else did we say?
Marc Gasol.
Oh, God, no.
How dare you?
All right, so.
Can't remember who else we said.
So Ibaka averaged 12 points, 6.5 rebounds, 0.8 assists, 0.5 steals, and 2 blocks per game. Basically, if you didn't, unless you cared about blocks pretty strongly, you could have dropped Ibaka this season.
He was an atrocity. Like, he got
and,
to the point,
and people picked him in the second round.
He got to the point in DFS where he wasn't even an option to play. I mean, it was just very
second
bizarre.
Second round got very ugly.
Speaking of that, here's the crazy part. On that player rater, I'm looking at like for the whole season now. Okay, he got you 7.58 points by their metrics. 4.12 were by blocks. He ended up 41st for the season. So like, if you really only cared about blocks, he was awesome. But if you take that away, he was like, 3.4, which would have been terribly awful. I mean, he would have been way back there.
I'm telling you, I think aside from his blocks, he was droppable this season. So I'd actually say he's a bigger disappointment than Gobert and, you know, Gasol. Because Gobert did poorly because he was out for so much of the time.
He didn't miss that many games. He wasn't out for that long. He missed
20 games more than Ibaka's missed.
He missed 20 games? He missed that many?
He missed at least 20 games. He missed 20 more games than Ibaka. He's played one more game than Marc Gasol.
That's crazy. The thing I think people missed about him during draft season was like you have to build a very specific team around Gobert. And like other people, like there were people just like taking him in the second round thinking he was gonna be like a statistical monster, but like
he didn't block as many shots as you wanted him to, but he's still gonna be one of the league leaders in blocks. So he gets a lot of steals, he's got 11 rebounds per game, like No, you're exactly right. Like it's hard to win points. You almost have to punt points if you're going to pick Gobert, but I'm just saying, like, his projection isn't that much different. Like, his actual stats isn't really different than our projection.
But he also gives you no threes and his terrible free throw percentage of 58% on 4.5 attempts a game. So, like, I mean, you got to build around those three categories like hard to try to get back in it if you're going to.
All right, so the last four of the second round, I didn't really intend to do this, but this is kind of an interesting discussion, so we'll keep it going for just a minute. Paul Millsap obviously outperformed his expectations.
It's terrific.
Yeah. Nikola Vukovic went next, Gordon Hayward and Draymond Green.
I think Gordon Hayward's been a disappointment.
He probably hasn't performed up to that level. I would say, though, he's not in Serge Ibaka, even Rudy Gobert territory.
No, he's not in that territory.
You got a third-round pick instead of a late second-round pick.
Yeah, but yeah. He's underperformed a little bit. And Draymond Green, I think he exceeded value, although
absolutely.
He has not been – he does not score many points, like, at all. He doesn't take many shots.
No, but that's – I mean, nobody – I was a big proponent of – recommending everyone take Draymond Green in the second round. If you go back and listen, he was a guy that I suggested to take in the second round with a lot of players, or early third if you could. I did not expect him to get 7.5 assists per game. That was out of nowhere. I was looking more for the steals, blocks, and three-pointers and rebounds, which he's great at all three of those, four of those categories. And his percentages aren't great, but the 7.5 assists is what made him really, really awesome this year.
Yeah.
We're surprising. Like,
one guy who where did Andre Drummond go, and where did he end up in rankings? If anyone has that.
Yeah. So Drummond went 32nd. About, well, let me count this. So Draymond Green went 24th. Bledsoe 25th. Pau Gasol 26th. Nerlens Noel 27th. Kyle Lowry.
Wow. Let's get to Nerlens. He was horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, the steals, again, steals and blocks, he did just fine at. So I think he was probably overdrafted by two rounds. But, again, not as bad as Ibaka.
Really? I mean, man, he was freaking bad. I mean, there's games he wouldn't even play 20 minutes.
No, but all I'm saying is on the season, like, if you look at his numbers. So he finished with 11 points, 8 rebounds, 1.7 steals and 1.5 blocks. He shot 52% from the field.
So I guess the steal is the only thing that gets him.
Yeah, I mean,
Ibaka. Right.
So I'm interested to go back and I'd be interested to go back and look at what our preseason projections on him were. But oh, you're saying how's he different than Ibaka?
Yeah, the steals, right?
Well, steals, and then also, even though Nerlens Noel only got 2 assists per game, Ibaka averaged less than 1 assist per game. Like that stuff kind of matters too. But yeah, I mean, there just aren't a lot of guys that are going
to
get you.
And like a head to head, in a head to head league, I don't think that matters though.
Yeah, I would say in a head to head league that matters more.
Those two assists a week matters more. Yeah,
6 assists a week, that's hard to make up. And if you're losing 6 assists at the power forward spot,
I don't know.
Then you basically got to have like Chris Paul.
You went back and looked at your matchups, though. How many matchups were decided within 6 assists? I bet you maybe 1 or 2 weeks, maybe most.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes a difference. I would say.
You want Nerlens Noel's preseason projection? I got it. If you want to.
Yeah.
What do we have him at?
All right. So you had him shooting 46.1% on 9.8 attempts.
He did better than that.
64.2% from free throw line and 3.6 attempts.
He did a little worse than that.
8.7 rebounds.
He did a little worse than that, but he ended up at 8.
2.1 assists.
Okay, right on.
1.8 steals.
That was right on.
1.9 blocks.
He was a little lower than that.
And 11.3 points.
And he was right on that. So, see, he came in right about where we were projecting him, which is why I don't think I drafted him anywhere. I think he did go a little higher in the draft than he should have. Kyle Lowry went right after Nerlens Noel, and he ended up with one of the best seasons.
Yeah, he was tremendous.
He was great. Whiteside went next. Rudy Gay went next. And then Andre Drummond, which is who you wanted to talk about.
Rudy Gay was another one who had a very, very disappointing. Like, very disappointing.
Yeah, he sort of slipped. So he went like 32nd in ESPN leagues, and he ended up as like the 50th best player.
That is one guy I will. There's no way in hell I'm drafting next year.
Oh, excuse me. I said he went. I think he went 30th.
All right, so like out of all the guys that we named right there, which is basically all the top players for the most part.
Well, and what's hard about Drummond is like he did great. He averaged 17 points, 15 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, but his free throw percentage, which was 36%, dropped so low that he actually looks like he didn't perform very well. But in a head-to-head league, you were probably pretty thrilled with what he gave you.
Yeah, his splits would be interesting because I mean like pre All Star break and post, there's a dramatic difference in his numbers.
Really?
Like he was so much better before.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about free throws specifically.
No. I mean overall numbers. Yeah. And the same goes with Reggie Jackson. Just he was tremendous. Before the All Star break and after.
I'm gonna push back on you a little bit there, Dan, because in the last month he's averaged 16 points, 15 rebounds, one steal, and one block per game.
Do you have after the entire All-Star break versus before anywhere?
So the last 2 months, which is probably a pretty good proxy for that, 16 points, 15 rebounds, one steal, and 1.5 blocks. So he may have had a game here or there, but he's been pretty consistently in that 16 points, 15 rebounds bucket.
All right.
I'm sticking with Gobert for this argument. Just
really? Let's hear the Gobert argument.
I'll read you his preseason projection, okay?
Okay.
You gonna tell me how he did compared to this season? All right. So
this is my preseason projection?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so preseason projection, you projected him for 33 minutes, which he didn't
quite
get.
He came in at 32.
Okay, but he shot 58.8% on 6.9 attempts.
Yeah, he shot 56% on 6 attempts.
Okay,
so that's right on, basically.
You had him at 60.2% on 4.3 attempts.
Yeah, he shot 58% on 4.6 attempts, so he was right on that.
But see, that hurt you a little worse, okay? So,
okay, so he was it's 1.5% off. I mean, that's not going to make him the most disappointing player.
But that is, like, killing you. Okay? You had him at 12.2 rebounds.
Okay, and he only came in at 11.
You had him at 1.5 assists.
Yeah,
or 1.8. I'm sorry, 1.8 assists.
And he came in right at 1.5.
Okay, you had him at one steal.
And he's at 0.8.
And 2.7 blocks.
See, I think that's where he probably didn't perform as well as everybody expected. He came in only at 2.1 blocks, which is fine, but it's not the 2.7 that we were hoping for.
But it's a half a block, which is like what a lot of guards get. So like, I mean, that's like
no, that's a big deal. That's what I'm saying. That's if he was disappointing anywhere, it was the fact that he got closer to 2 blocks than 3 per game.
And like you said, I mean, you were already thinking, oh, I'm probably gonna have to pump points, but 10.7 you had him projected for. He only got
9.2.
Right, and so I mean, like that was a bigger drawback even than I think everyone thought it was going to be was he just didn't score as many and he didn't block enough and he didn't rebound the crazy rate we thought he was going to.
I would say his rebounds, I mean, the fact that we project him for 33 minutes, he came in at 32. I mean, I think if he would have played 33 minutes a game, he would have been really close to his rebounding mark. I think it's the fact that there's such a difference between 2.3 blocks per game and 2 blocks per game, I think was why he was disappointing, but I wouldn't go as far to say he's the most disappointing player. He was still third in the league in blocks. I'm sticking with Ibaka. I understand the Gobert argument. I just think a lot of people are frustrated at him because he was injured, not because he performed worse than we expected. He performed a little worse than we expected, but Ibaka was terrible.
And for Drummond, he actually performed better than we expected, I think.
Yeah, well, at least better than I expected. I think Kyle expected a 2020 season. He didn't quite say that. Kyle was more correct on him than I was. Dan, who's your most disappointing guy of all the people we went over?
I mean, I'd probably Gobert.
Wow, you guys both hate Gobert.
Yeah, I think it was him.
The fact is that the playoffs didn't really do it for him. I mean, it's not like he redeemed himself at the playoffs like Klay Thompson did.
Yeah, but
this past week he has averaged. This last week he averaged in 23 minutes per game. He averaged 4 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks.
Yeah, I mean that makes you want to, you know, break the TV screen if you're watching him play. I mean, that
I was an unsatisfied customer. That's for sure.
Those numbers are not gonna, you know, help you win a fantasy championship.
No.
But also, I mean, it's you know, taking into account the guys who are injured. Blake Griffin probably over Anthony Davis might be the most frustrating guy.
I don't know. Anthony Davis was so untimely. You had no opportunity to recover from it.
At least he gave you whatever, how many games.
At least he got you to the playoffs. I guess that's a fair.
Whereas Blake Griffin just completely destroyed your team.
And at least he got hurt playing basketball.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And you kind of knew it was probably coming, right? Like, you expected Anthony Davis to get hurt at some point.
Yeah.
Most player who most outperformed their draft position's got to be Kyle Lowry, I would think.
I'm backing you on that. Kyle Lowry was amazing.
Lowry.
What about Kemba Walker?
Lowry was drafted 32nd overall, and he came in at 7th, the 7th best player. So that's pretty good. I agree, though. Kemba was great. Kemba went 62nd, and he came in at 19th overall.
Yeah, he's another guy that like, since the All-Star break, I mean, he's been, I almost said this on one of the podcasts, and said it to all my coworkers, not really the same thing. I watched like a few games of him. He reminded me of Steph Curry a lot of games. He would just pull up.
Kemba?
Yeah.
Walker?
He would just pull up and take crazy, ridiculous three-pointers. Like, he would take, like, 25, 30 shots a game, like, 10, 12 threes a game. Obviously.
He had a great season. I'm not sure I'm there.
Obviously, he's not Steph Curry, but, I mean, like, you know, I mean, they have similarities. If you were watching Kemba play, and I know you weren't. If you go back and watch, I mean, like, they're both similar. They can handle the ball really well, take really difficult shots. Obviously, he's not as good as Steph and not as good a shooter. He's much streakier than Steph.
Thing for him this season was that he actually shot an okay percentage. He shot 43% from the field, which was much better than the last season. He shot 38%.
Yeah. I mean, and Charlotte's good. And it's mostly because of Kemba. I mean, he's really good.
He got much, much better. He way outperformed his draft position. Giannis Antetokounmpo finally outperformed his draft position, which was great to see.
He's the guy next year who I'm probably gonna overreach to try to get in all my drafts.
Not only you, everybody else in the world, I would think.
Not everybody. Tyler won't.
Everybody loves Giannis.
Yeah, I'll be the one guy who doesn't own Giannis in every league probably because someone will take him in like the first round and I'll be like, I'm out.
You think he could be a late first round pick next year or no?
My guess is he goes in the second round next year.
Yeah, I think second round is reasonable.
I think he's probably like ranked in the second round on most sites, but I think people reach for him like end of the first.
I wouldn't be surprised if the guy at the end of the first round picks him.
That's what I'm saying.
I will definitely pick him in one league late first round maybe just because he's so much fun to watch.
Carl Anthony Towns way outperformed his draft value, which was fun to see. Rarely do rookies ever do that.
He got another guy.
18th overall. He was drafted 52nd overall, which I actually thought was too high. Who's your other guy, Tyler?
CJ McCollum.
Yeah. I thought he was going way too high in drafts. Turns out he was going way too low. CJ McCollum, let's look at what he did. So he ended up, this is the thing that was most surprising to me with McCollum. He averaged 35 minutes a game this season. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I think I would have been surprised. I would probably have taken the under if you would have said 32 minutes per game at the beginning of the season.
But why? I mean, Portland had no one else to play.
I just thought there was no way in the world that he was going to be able to play in the same backcourt as Damian Lillard. Like, they're very similar size. They're very similar aptitude defensively, which is not high. And I just thought there's no way Portland can make this work with those two guys. Like, they're going to have to stagger them a lot more than they ended up having to do. And so the other thing that was impressive with McCollum, so he averaged 21 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1.2 steals. Those assists, I mean, 4.2 doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a higher rate of assists than he's ever averaged before.
Well, he's only played like 1 year. What do you mean?
No, like per minute, per possession. His assist projection came out at like 1.5 or 1.6, even at 30 minutes per game. He just basically hasn't gotten a lot of assists in his career. And so for him to make the leap up to 4, like last season, okay, so he averaged 13 minutes per game, only 0.7 assists. That was 2 years ago. And then the next year he averaged 16 minutes per game, he averaged 1 assist. So even if you double that 16 minutes per game, that's 2 assists per game. So he basically almost tripled his assist rate this year to go along with an increase in this scoring. So really a pretty impressive season by him. And to do it all by shooting 45% from the field is, I think he had a spectacular season. All right, interesting discussion. Anybody else you guys want to talk about before we move on? Rondo had a pretty good season, surprisingly.
Buster, yep. In real life, he killed Sacramento.
Jay Crowder had a pretty, absolutely. That was
Jay
all.
Crowder, no, Jay Crowder's been very just another guy who I very disappointed because he's been hurt now forever. It seems like.
Yeah, but he was picked up. He was not drafted in most ESPN leagues.
Yeah, but if you had him like, he's a guy. If you had him like me, yeah, you were happy with him, and then playoffs came, and you're like, where the hell is this guy?
He ended up as a top 50 player.
You shouldn't even count on, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, 45th on ESPN's player rater and per game averages. I mean,
you know who actually might be the most disappointing guy? And this is the last guy we want to do. Where was Markieff Morris drafted?
I think he was around 100.
Oh, he was that low?
Yeah, it looks like he came out, he ended the season at 78.
Because I know I took him in a lot of leagues because I was thinking Phoenix, they have no one. Like, he's going to get all the shots he wants.
I had him inside my top 50. That was one of the worst calls that I had all season.
No, I wish if Markieff was sane and he wasn't crazy, like he could have had a monster year, yeah, man.
I mean, the stats were there. I just didn't. I didn't appropriately factor in what a toxic situation it was in Phoenix. Yeah. Okay, we'll end on this because this is okay. Well, let me give you a couple of quick hitters. People are starting to already ask, where do these guys go next season? I think we already talked about Giannis. I think Giannis goes in the first half of the second round. I think it'll probably be too high, but at the same time, I can't blame somebody for picking him there. He's been spectacular.
On my early preseason rankings, he's number 14, Mark, for next year. I made that up.
Right. Cool. So where does Blake go next year? By the way, let's just give the news on Blake. He's been cleared for basketball activities. So he is beginning to serve his 4-game suspension. He will be back next year, next week, which probably will not help very many people in their fantasy leagues, but Blake should be back.
I think that's all. Where he goes next year is all contingent on how he plays, you know, when he comes back.
And maybe what team he's on.
Yeah, so like let's play this out then. So, right, everyone's saying if the Clippers don't, you know, really make a significant push and get past – Golden State or San Antonio, which there's no way it's going to happen. I can't envision how that happens. They'd have to get past both,
right? Like,
but I think if they made the Eastern Conference Finals, they'd probably keep the team together. Because that team has never even made the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think that's what they need to make in order to keep that team together. But you're right, to get to the finals, they'd have to beat both. But let's say you know they lose in the second round, like they're probably going to Golden State.
Yeah, they lose in 5 to Golden State, which is probably the most likely thing.
Like they're gonna break that up, and would you trade CP3 or Blake? Because those are the two guys, right? Those are the two guys you got.
I mean, you can trade DeAndre, but I'm not sure that gets you anywhere.
Yeah,
and he's a pretty valuable guy in the league at this point. I mean, that's kind of what everybody wants in a big guy. I don't think you want to rebuild a team around a 30-plus-year-old point guard with knee problems.
I don't either. And this is the thing, though. So I really do think if Cleveland goes out like everyone thinks, and they may – dude, they're going to have trouble in the East, getting through the East. There's a lot of teams that could give them trouble, including Miami. Yeah. But all right, fine. Let's say Cleveland makes the finals and gets smashed. Would you trade, you know, would you trade Kyrie for CP3?
I mean, this is the trade that everybody's been talking about forever.
You know, LeBron,
right?
You know LeBron wants that. And the Clippers do need a shakeup. If I'm the Clippers, I would do that.
Yeah, I probably would do that.
I mean, you're getting a guy who's, what, 22 versus 30?
You're talking about the guy who I hate, I dislike the most right now in
yeah,
fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, me too, but still. I mean,
like, yeah, you know, I think you probably have to hit the reset button and do that.
But if you're the Clippers, like, where else, you know, like, would I probably rather, I still would rather probably trade CP3 than Blake. Kyrie's probably the best guy that you could get if Cleveland's willing to do that.
Right.
I don't know.
So if Kyrie, so I think they trade Blake though. I don't think that's how Doc thinks. I think they trade Blake for like three starter level players. And then everybody looks back on it as like one of the worst trades in the last 5 years. Like I wouldn't be surprised if it's like Jay Crowder, Tyler Zeller, and like
Boston would be definitely a team that could get him. I mean, Boston has the assets.
Yeah, and some future pick.
Would you trade? Let's say you could trade Brooklyn's pick in the draft, which you're probably going to be top four. Yeah, for Blake. If you're Boston, would you do that?
Absolutely, yeah. But the Clippers aren't going to want it, right? Because if they're trading Blake, they're trying to win now. They can't bring along.
Would you trade like the Brooklyn pick and Jay Crowder?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I like Jay Crowder as much as anybody, but Blake Griffin is like a cornerstone of a team.
Yeah, I think I would do that too.
Yeah, I think you could find Jay Crowders is all I'm saying. Jay Crowder was a throw-in in the Rajon Rondo trade. All right, so next guy. You skipped my question, but that's okay. Hassan Whiteside.
What was your question? Your question was, where is Blake going to go next year? And I said, it's completely contingent on how he plays.
I got it. Where he's going to go. He's going to go like between 35 and 40, and I think he's going to be a steal.
If he looks the same as he did, you know, pre-injury, which he should, I would think he's going to play well. Why wouldn't he go in the second round again?
Because he's only going to play like 35 games this year. I mean, he's played 30 already. Okay, he only played 67 the year before that. So people are going to be like, oh, he's hurt, blah blah blah. It's going to push him down the rankings, and then he's going to be a steal. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but he was hurt because he punched a guy. Like I would take him in late second round next year. And I wouldn't even think twice about it as long as he comes back and looks okay.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be a steal. He's going to be ranked too low. That's my point.
No, I think he's going to be ranked where he should be, like the high teens.
I'm going to pass over Hassan Whiteside because we can't really answer that question until we know who he's playing for.
He's staying with Miami.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. There's no way they can let him go. Miami's basically made the decision they're keeping him.
They have no rights to keep him. I mean, they have to clear cap space to keep him.
No. First of all, no, they don't. Basically, everyone – remember how much the cap's going up next year.
Well, I was just going to say, this is the right year, but they don't have any bird rights is all I'm saying.
Correct. They don't. They don't, but I mean –
they can use their cap space, so they basically have to choose him over other free agents.
But the only free agent that they would want over him would be Durant, and they're not getting Durant. From all signs from Miami indicate they're going to re-sign him. And yes, you're right. He could go elsewhere, but I think Miami's gonna pay
him. That's a scary situation to pay him $100 million.
It is, but it's like since you know the All-Star break and stuff, he's done everything they've asked. I mean, he's been off the court too. He's been
the guy on the contract year, like that is playing for $100 million.
Yeah, but he was a knucklehead the first half. I mean, he was just
All I'm saying is you don't want that guy on a 5-year contract. That seems scary to me.
So where does he get picked? If he plays for Miami, where does he get picked?
I pick him second round. I pick him like – if he's available like at like that 15, 16 range, I would take him.
I'm going to hope that somebody takes him before I get to him in the second round.
Dude, he's so – have you watched him play since the
– and there's so many – I mean, his blocks are so unbelievable.
But he takes over the entire game. Like he can score. He can shoot, Mark. Like he's got an offensive game.
His stats remind me a little. I think he's that good of a player.
You don't?
I think his stats are a little like Rajon Rondo's stats.
No, dude, then you're not watching him play. Like, I completely disagree. Like, why would you, like what's your rationale for that?
I think he chases a lot of blocks. Like, I think there's a lot of times he's out of defensive position.
He's been better though. The first half of the season,
just to chase blocks.
He's been better. But he does do that a little bit.
I mean, other players joke about it, right? Like, there was somebody joking about it on Twitter in a different language about how he basically chases his own blocks over staying in position.
Yeah, no, he definitely does that a little bit. But I mean, that was before the All-Star break. I mean, post, dude, he's been tremendous. And if you watching the games, he completely takes over the game. Like, when he comes in, it's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, we'll have to disagree on that one.
We will.
All right, last one. Karl-Anthony Towns, where does he go next year?
That's
Karl-Anthony Towns has been the 18th best player this season. In 32 minutes a game, he's averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.7 steals, 1.7 blocks, 55% from the field, and 82% from the line.
The first thing I want to know there is who's their coach? Right?
Apparently it doesn't matter because he played this well with Sam Mitchell.
Right, but he could be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
He's getting
no, so listen to this. The playoff week, he averaged 23 points, 11 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and a half a three-pointer, shooting almost 60% from the field and 82% from the line. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Would you go Towns or DeMarcus next year?
Probably DeMarcus.
Yeah, I would too.
The thing is, Towns has already played more games in an NBA season than Anthony Davis ever has. And he's still got, like, a few games to go this season.
All right, so Towns or Davis next year?
That's a tough one. Probably Davis.
Tyler?
I'm going Towns, but I think Davis is going to be ranked higher.
Yeah, it's I would debate. That's not as easy as it sounds. I would think hard about that one before I would probably go Davis, but it would be yeah.
Davis will be better per game. I think he'll still put up better numbers per game. The injury stuff is real though. Like that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you touch Anthony Davis, he will be out for 2 games.
Like the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns has played 73 games in the NBA season with like several games to go. And that's more than Anthony Davis has ever played. That's an important factor.
So. With you.
All right, guys. Let's move on here a little bit. Let's try to help our listeners one last time, hopefully win their championship round matchup. Let's talk a little bit about the schedule, talk about some rankings, and then we will sign off.
All right, so... as far as the schedule goes, next week, Monday there's 10 games. Tuesday there's only 6 games. Wednesday there's 9 games. Thursday there's only 6 games. Friday there's 10 games. Saturday there's 5 games. And Sunday there's 11 games. So, I mean, obviously it's a pretty packed week, but, I mean, the days you're really targeting are Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday because you're definitely going to be able to fit the people into your lineup on those days.
Right. Brooklyn has 5 games this week, right?
So does Chicago.
Oh.
And 20 teams have 4 games, and there's only 8 teams with 3 games. So, I mean, obviously, if you got a 3-game guy in one of those 8 teams, I mean, that's kind of a big drawback in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I can't think of 2 worse teams to have 5 games this week than Chicago and Brooklyn.
Oh, I can't.
I'll have to take a
Philly, Memphis, Phoenix. There's 3.
Yeah, Phoenix. No, I just mean as like, how do you even take advantage of that?
I mean, the Bulls are they're actually somewhat healthy now, so the Bulls are pretty, and they're battling for a playoff spot, so those guys are all, you know, you should know who to play there.
Battling is a strong word,
well,
don't you think?
Or dismantling, or whatever verb you want to use, but...
Pillow fighting for a playoff spot?
But, like, the Nets is the trickier one. I mean, because me and you were talking pre-show. Both of us got killed by Thaddeus Young this week. Like, they're playing everyone on their roster. The minutes are all in flux. They just switched up. Now Shane Larkin is starting. like it's but it,
I picked up Ronde Hollis Jefferson this week and he did some interesting things.
Is he getting enough minutes?
I picked him up. I was specifically trying to get Stills and he helped me there, so I might be overly rosy on how he did.
I know the
he's
first
only getting like 16 minutes a game, I think.
Yeah, that's I mean that's tough if a guy's only gonna get that many minutes.
Let me look.
So if he let's say he gets bumped up though.
But he got 5 steals in 3 games, which is all I was going for.
So if he's gonna get 20 minutes a game, but he has 5 games, would you take him this week?
I mean, at this point in the season, it totally just depends on which categories you need. As I just said, I think if you need steals, I think he's a good option. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I think he could get you 10 steals next week, which is a big deal. He might be able to score you 10 points a game, probably get you 6 rebounds. So he's not going to kill you in those two categories because, again, 50 points and 30 rebounds, 10 steals. I think he could do that.
Yeah, and I'm actually all in on Shane Larkin this week.
Really?
Yeah, he's looked really good the last couple games. Now he's starting for – he overtook, the tremendous Donald Sloan finally for the starting spot.
I got some good stats on him right here. He's my number 2 pickup for the week. He plays 5 games. He's ranked 44th in our weekly rankings.
Wait, who is?
Shane Larkin.
All right.
He's only owned in 4% of leagues. They play on Tuesday and Thursday, so if you're in a daily moves league, you're definitely going to be able to get him in for at least 2 of the 5 games.
I'm liking this one, guys.
Okay, here we go. Last 2 games, he's averaged 29 minutes, half a 3, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.5 steals, and 15 points. But here's the craziest thing. For this month, which is like 14 games for the Nets, I think, he shot 50.6%.
Wow. That probably won't keep up.
I think he's the first player under 5 feet to do that, right?
Muggsy not have a stretch like that?
No, Muggsy never break that.
You think he'll play all 5 games? I'm thinking some of the Nets players won't play all 5 games.
Don't they want to see what they got in this guy? I mean, he's not that.
They already know what they have. I mean, he stinks. But I mean, so does Donald Sloan. I mean, they have all bad options.
They have to run somebody out, right?
Yeah, if I'm Brooklyn, I play him. I mean, why would you sit him?
I mean, they've
seen enough of Donald freaking Sloan.
Yeah, we all right? have.
So I think he's gonna be fine. I mean, there may be one or two games where he plays under 25 minutes. 20 minutes maybe, but still. If you're getting 5 games, I think he's a really, really nice play this week.
Yeah.
All right, you want to hear the rest of my pickups?
Yeah, let's hear the rest of your pickups.
All right, number 5 is Steven Adams. Just relax, okay? All right, he plays 4 games this week. He wasn't really ranked that well in our rankings. He's only 131st in our weekly rankings. But the Thunder play on Tuesday and Thursday, which I think is going to be key this week because you got to get these guys in, okay?
Yeah, that's important.
In the last 15 days, he's averaged 23.5 minutes, 5.6 rebounds, half an assist, 1.3 steals, almost a block, 10.3 points on 69.8% from the field, which, I mean, he's shooting 61.3% from the year. So, I mean, he's really going to, give you a little boost in that category. And, I mean, like, he's obviously not great, but the blocks and steals are going to be helpful. And he's going to give you 10 points and, 6 rebounds and a really good field goal percentage.
Yeah, Number four is
a guy who's been playing, out of his mind. DJ Augustine plays 4 games this week for the Nuggets.
Tyler didn't even give us a chance to give some analysis on that.
I liked it. Yeah.
You want to talk about Steven Adams? Go ahead. I'll give you the floor.
No, I got nothing.
You're such a jerk.
I figured you were gonna trash him, so I was trying to move on before you.
Man, I know you really steamrolled me over. You didn't even give me a chance. You're like number 4, number 3, number 2.
No, you're doing good, Tyler. Keep going.
All right. So number 4, DJ Augustine, 4 games. He's ranked 205th in our rankings, but I found some interesting stats on him. So I'll give him here in a second. He's owned in 35% of leagues. They play on Thursday and Saturday, so again, you're gonna get 2 games where you can definitely use the guy. The last 14 games, which is basically this month, he's averaged 25.3 minutes, 2 threes a game, 2.3 rebounds, 5.5 assists, a steal, and 14.2 points on 40, 86.3% from the field and 82.1% from the free throw line.
Wow. Yeah, I'm good with that.
I thought that was pretty crazy. I mean, that does.
Yeah, he's been playing great. He's been playing better than Moutier. You know, he should be actually starting for them. He's played that well, but just there. I mean, obviously.
Moutier actually helped me win a league today because he was on the other player's team.
Yeah, he had such a deplorable game. I think, I don't know if it was last game. It was just.
No, he's played really poorly.
Yeah. So.
I like Augustine. I picked him up in a couple of places. He's been a good pickup. Yeah, with their schedule, I like him a lot.
He's very consistent right now.
Yeah.
All right, last two guys. Their big thing is they play all three days where the games are.
Moutier shot 2 of 15 today, by the way.
Wow, that's so freaking bad.
Yeah, I won field goal percentage because he was in my opponent's team, which was excellent.
See, if field goal percentage was in play. For your opponent was an idiot. He should have benched Moutier.
Yeah, he needed him for a couple other categories, though. He was in a tight spot, so.
Yeah, and he was up against CB3. I mean, that's just a horrible matchup, man. He's Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
All right. Last two guys. Number three on the list was Mark's all-star, Jan Mahimi.
He had a great game today.
Great game.
And you're going to use them at least three of the four games, all right? So that's a bigger thing. 74th ranked in our weekly rankings. He's only owned in 33% of ESPN leagues. Basically, I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but, I mean, you know what you're getting from Jan. And the number one guy this week was another guy we've talked about the last couple weeks, but still no one's picking him up. Plays for the Bulls, Taj Gibson. He's ranked 37th in our weekly rankings.
He might be their best player at this point. Like their most productive player night to night.
The crazy thing is this month he's been like actually really kind of good in some categories I wouldn't have even expected him to be doing so well in. He's averaging 1.3 steals this month.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's helping. He's still getting you that block. 1.6 assists, which, I mean, it's not great, but it's at least a little help. Yeah. Only 6 rebounds, but he's shooting 60.2% from the field and 85.2% from the line. So... I mean,
he had 16 points and 3 rebounds last game. He shot 8 of 9 from the floor. The
rebounds haven't quite been as high as I would hope for.
Yeah, it's
he's been good everywhere else though, which is really strange, right? Like you would have thought, hey, he's just consistent for rebounds and maybe some blocks, which has been the story the whole season, and now he's not rebounding. He's doing everything else. He's scoring way more than I would have ever expected. He's getting a lot of steals. He's getting some assists. I don't know. He's shooting 94% from the free throw line over the last 8 games. I don't get it. All right. Anybody else you want to throw on there, Dan, to add this week? I think that might be it.
Dude, I'm telling you, a guy that me and you were talking about pre-show because my new team is Memphis. Jordan Farmer, man, he's as long as he's starting for Memphis, even if he's not, he's getting a lot of minutes, and he actually can play, man. I don't know if he went to the D League or if he went over. I think he must have went overseas. I'm not sure what happened to him. Like he's a legitimate NBA player. He's NBA talent. Memphis has no one.
Be good in Memphis.
Well, Memphis has no one right now. Especially they need someone a point guard. Like Lance, you know, Lance is a bumbling goof. He can't play point guard the whole game for them. So if Jordan Farmar is available, I actually really like 4 games this week. I like him. You know, he's only 2% owned in ESPN leagues.
He'll definitely be available. I'm staying away from Farmer. I don't think he's that interesting.
But... Oh, I'm gonna be farming all week long, Mark. get on my tractor. It's gonna happen.
He was playing in China.
Yeah, he was in China? All right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's only played 23 minutes in his last game. He hasn't scored over 13 points yet. I don't know.
What was his line last game you played?
11 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals.
That's tremendous. You want him for assists and steals. If he gives you points, that's a bonus, which he can do. He can score.
I don't think he can score.
I like you guys. I'm telling you.
I would rather have Lance.
Pick up Jordan, and then when he has a good game, tweet me and Mark, and you can
Would you drop Lance Stevenson for him?
I'd be tempted. Probably. I need to see one more game of Larkin. Of Farmar before Farmar. Before I did it. But it depends. If I have as many moves as I want, yes, I would. If I'm limited to the count, like in most of my leagues, I only have like 4 moves a week.
Right.
Then I'd probably wait a game. But if I could just make moves whenever I want, then I'd probably do it. Yeah, I would.
All right.
I'm bold, man. I'm bold.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks, man.
Good luck to both of you guys in your playoff matchups this week.
It's over. I'm destroyed.
Do you guys have any? Are your leagues all done on Sunday night, or you guys have more?
I have another week in like 3 or 4 leagues.
Tyler, what about you?
I got 2 leagues that go all the way till the end of the season. So.
Oh. That should be fun. Trying to pick up all the players who are resting.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Everybody becomes like the Memphis Grizzlies for the last week or so.
We also should mention Darren Williams is a guy. He's been out. He's out. He was set out today. He's going to be out tomorrow. JJ Brea is a guy. He didn't play great today, but still had an okay line. As long as Darren Williams is out, though, JJ Brea is a guy that I'm going to pick up and play.
Yeah, he's been just fine. Hey, Tyler, you and I square off in our midseason listener league.
Oh, Mark, you are going down in this league.
Versus you. Dan, you're playing versus one of our listeners, Josh. Congratulations, Josh, for making it to the Final Four.
Good job, dude. You're going to beat me, though. I lost Anthony Davis, so I have no one.
Yeah, I'm excited to beat you. We might have to have a podcast next Sunday just to talk about
it. My top player is Joe Johnson in that league. I'm not even kidding.
That should be a lot of fun. And in one of the listener leagues, I don't know how they all ended up. Kyle ended up playing in all of them, and I didn't necessarily. But the one that I did play in, Kyle and I are in the finals. So you can all tweet to Kyle and tell him that he should step down because he didn't finish the podcast.
I think that's a little bit of a collusion. What are the odds that you and Kyle are in both in the finals?
I think that's pretty likely, right?
Whoa! Because you're that much of a master.
I guess so. I'm just saying Kyle probably shouldn't be allowed to finish if he didn't finish the podcast.
Well, it's a listener league, though, so maybe he listens to the show.
No, he doesn't listen. No, I don't know. Maybe he does listen.
Over, under, Kyle's listened to 4 shows that we've done.
Under.
I put it under, too.
Kyle has not listened to 1. I'm saying if you would have said 1, I would have said under.
Kyle, he probably... I don't know if he's listening or not, but... I'm just saying, I feel like I should be the automatic winner.
I do agree. Let's get to more important news. Mark, what will you be doing this offseason?
I'm going to watch a lot of playoff basketball.
Okay.
Which will be the funnest part.
Who's going to win it? Give us your prediction.
I mean, I think it's hard to go against Golden State at this point.
Oh, it's not hard. I'm going with the Spurs.
I'm pretty excited to watch the Spurs and Golden State. Go up against each other.
I'm hoping Golden State over Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
You know, are you joking or serious?
I'm serious, 100%.
You think Charlotte's going to make it out of the East?
Yep.
That would be a lot of fun until they got to the finals, and then I don't think that would be a lot of fun anymore.
That would probably be the lowest rated NBA finals ever.
I mean, everybody's going to tune in to watch the Warriors, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the lowest rated finals ever. Charlotte's got to be one of the smallest media markets we have.
Yeah, but I think everybody's turning on TV for the Warriors. I mean, if they're going for any sort of like 4-4-4-4, I don't think that will happen because of the Spurs. So don't. Dan, you tried to convince me at the beginning of this show that you thought the Grizzlies were just a hair worse than the Spurs. How are you going to turn this around?
What I said is that the Grizzlies are a hair worse than the Spurs' second squad. That's what I said.
Oh, my goodness. No, I mean, it's really too bad the Spurs and Warriors couldn't play in the finals.
No, I think it's fine. It's going to be a...
It should be fun. I'm hoping...
Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, like, Let's just hope that matchup happens. If that that matchup doesn't happen, it's gonna be such a disappointment.
It really will. If the Thunder, although what if the Thunder beat the Spurs?
Running no plays against.
That's true.
It's just and then we know how it's gonna end. Like it's gonna be a close game in the fourth quarter. Then Westbrook or Durant are just gonna take turns, and it's not gonna work out.
If we get Clippers Thunder, that will be monumentally disappointing.
That'd be funny, actually.
It would be funny, but it'll be funny and exciting until it happens, and we're like, oh, we could have had Golden State, San Antonio.
Maybe like Blake was taking some steroids, some HGH. He comes back and he's a monster.
He's gonna be like 7'5". He's gonna look like one of the monsters from Space Jam.
Yeah.
Do you guys foresee any upsets in the Western Conference? Like, do you think that there's anybody 5 through 8 that can beat anybody 1 through 4?
Dan's going for Memphis.
How many games do you think it'll take for Memphis to take care of the Clippers?
I do legitimately think that Utah could cause some trouble for a team.
Yeah.
Like, just that they're that good defensively when they really want to be. Even though, I mean, Chicken Nugget, Mac Daddy, I can't pick a team that has Mac Daddy as your starting point guard. Utah, I think, could scare some teams the first round. But otherwise, I don't really see much upsets.
And then
Portland's knocking out the Thunder. I'm calling it.
Wow, that would be fun.
Like the East, though, I think the East is going to be fascinating, man.
The East first round is actually going to be funner than the West first round.
Yeah, I mean, every matchup's going to be good.
Atlanta through Charlotte are basically all tied right now for 3 through 6, and then you've got the Pacers and whoever makes it into the 8th spot, whether it's the Wizards, Bulls,
it's gonna be Pistons. Detroit's going to make it, I think.
I'm pulling for the Wizards, but...
Why?
Well, I don't like Detroit, personally.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I don't really like Chicago all that much.
Yeah, I just don't want Chicago to make it.
Yeah.
But I think I want Detroit. Because I think they actually could give the Cavs trouble.
I mean, if Washington was firing on all cylinders, are you telling me they're not one of the two or three best teams in the East?
Yeah, they're not. They're the worst defensive team in the league.
Forget what they've done like the last couple of years in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're a different team, man. They changed.
Bill always steps it up in the playoffs, which will make everybody overdraft him.
I'm going to be hurt by the time we're done with this podcast.
Every year in the playoffs, man, he has a great playoffs, and everybody overdrafts him the next season.
Washington is I'm telling you, defensively.
Markieff Morris could step up and do some things. Marcin Gortat,
defensively, I'm telling you, defensively, they just don't play defense anymore. Like, look at their numbers. Like, I don't see them giving Cleveland
I don't think anybody's giving.
I think it'd be a really fun series to watch because it should be up and down the whole time. And like Wall against Kyrie would be fun to watch. But I think Detroit with Stan Van Gundy, who I think is a really underrated coach, I think he could actually, I think they could really give Cleveland some trouble. Like Drummond, that's a tough matchup, man.
Yeah.
And they got some guys, and KCP's a really good defense. I mean, they got some players. KCP can play some really good defense. Reggie Jackson, streaky, but I like him. So I'm calling
up. Guys.
Detroit is going to beat Cleveland. And then LeBron is going to go back to Miami. It's going to be great.
And Dan will be the happiest man alive.
I would love to take the bet on that, but I'm guessing that won't happen.
Tyler, what will you be doing this offseason?
Wow, hard to say.
Playoff basketball, having a baby.
Having a baby. That's fantastic. Did you know the name of the baby yet?
No, we're not even close. Unfortunately. Not even that close, unfortunately.
Mark Jr., I'm calling it.
What's your favorite name?
Call my shot.
We're not even that far. We haven't even spent...
But you have a favorite, right?
No, we were so obsessed with naming our girls, and like we thought about it all the time. We haven't even started yet. We've been like procrastinating. We only have 2 months left.
What about Salah?
We'll think about it. We'll put it on the list. And then getting the projections ready for next year, of course, will be a big part of my summer. That's a big undertaking. So
months.
Tyler, summer plans?
And we want detail, Tyler. You're a man of mystery. What are you doing? This
playoff basketball. What else you got?
Then I'm gonna try to help you with these projections because it seems like it's gonna be a big undertaking with your new child.
Cool, man.
And then I'm gonna send Dan a Twitter message every day of what I did for the day because he seems really interested in what I do. So I'm gonna let him know day by day, and he won't ever write back to me because he never does.
Wow. This seems like some angry stuff there.
That's about it.
Dan, yeah, what's your plans?
That was passive aggressive. nothing, man. I'm just gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna watch. I'll watch like you all the playoffs. Root for Miami. And otherwise, man, when the weather gets nice, me and Ed Harris, my dog, will be chilling outside in New York City, taking advantage of the nice weather. And I'll probably meet several women and engage in bad behavior.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's a basketball next season when President Trump takes over. And as long as there is, we'll be back with some new rankings and projections. Hopefully we'll have a couple podcasts in between too, right? Like maybe we can do something around the draft or free agency or I don't know. We'll just have to see. When we get the inkling, I think we'll try to jump on and do some podcasts, but nothing regular the rest of the way. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate all of your support. That's obviously what kept us going this year. Helping keep us sponsored, which was a lot of fun. Thanks to No Halftime, SeatGeek, BetDSI. I think those were our main sponsors this year. Thanks to all of you guys for sponsoring our podcast. And we will see you guys all again next year. Between now and then, hopefully you guys enjoy some basketball. Any last words, guys?
No, I guess I'll just say it didn't work out with the Urban Outfitter girl. I know a lot of you have asked. And other than that, no, it's just it's been a fun ride, and we will see you guys soon.
Yeah, Tyler?
Tyler, give us some parting words. Be wise.
I just want to say thanks to everyone. It's been awesome. It's been a great experience, and looking forward to next year.
Indeed. All right, guys. See you later.
Later.